This is Roots Pod.
Diaz, back post! There's the mark for Oakland! Jesse Elsendaniel! They have the lead against Tampa Bay!
Welcome into Roots Pod. This is Aaron. I've got John with me, and back off the disabled list is Peter, joining us after a one-episode hiatus. Peter, I know how much you missed us. It's really touching that you decided to come back so soon. I think all of our loyal listeners appreciate it. We've got both Roots and Soul developments, season developments to talk about. I mean, you all know the Roots developments. It was a disappointing 1-0 loss against Colorado Springs and then an inspiring 1-0 win against Tampa Bay Rowdies. But we're going to start with the Soul before we get to those Roots matches. Soul, in the past couple of weeks, they had an excellent 6-1 win over Academica, and then an unbelievably gut-wrenching 2-2 draw against Cal Storm. The Academica match, notable because Jordan Geis, UCLA commit, right, John? She's going to UCLA. Scored 4 goals, which is a first for Oakland Roots Sports Club team. You know, none of the men's teams, none of the previous Soul teams. Our skateboarder hasn't scored 4 goals in a match. The wrestler hasn't scored 4 goals in a match. So that's a pretty special accomplishment. But as far as the Soul are concerned, that was really a taking care of business type win. Really, they needed that win to set them up for this match against California Storm. Because as we've discussed in previous podcasts, the USLW League is the table is not a function of total points. It's a function of points per game or points per match, you know, if you want to get really specific about it. And although there are 8 teams in the NorCal division, the division winner goes to the playoffs, and then second place, I believe, can go to the playoffs if their points per match is better than the second place in some other division. It's a wacky system. But we only get to worry about that if Oakland Soul are in the top 2. And right now, it's a Glens and California Storm, and this game against the Storm was a big opportunity for the Soul to pick up some much-needed ground on that top 2. Looked like they had it, but ultimately came up short, John.
Yeah, I was just there, and it's, to me, just a testament of the game because like I told Jessica in our post-match interview when I was talking to her, I was like, I don't think it's anything wrong that you guys did. It was just a good team executing right when they needed to. And that's the game sometimes. I thought despite giving up 2 goals, the defense looked great. Sydney Shepherd was shutting down Gianna Riley, and in the final moments there, Riley just sends a centering pass after a long ball, you know, transition the other way there in, I think, the first or second minute of second half stoppage time. And they put it away, and it turns a good performance, a solid performance offensively and defensively. You know, leaves a little sour mark on it. But, you know, I think that Sam Tran just scored a beautiful goal in the 44th minute where she wheeled in on the right side, was around the top of the area, and just sends in this arcing shot. And it was just a thing of beauty. And Sam was making some just long runs in possession, like 30, 40 yards, just running with the ball from Soul's defensive third all the way into the attacking area. Like she was great. I thought the defense, Villand and Shepherd, were great. It was just, that's the game sometimes. And Storm just put them away when they had the chances. And I think Soul had the better chances. It's just unfortunate to tie it because it feels like a loss. And as you mentioned there, this schedule is imbalanced in the favor of Storm and in favor of Glens because they only play each other once instead of twice, while Soul gets Glens twice, gets Storm twice, also gets Cargo, the firm fourth best team in the division, get them twice. I have to go back to the schedule, but to my knowledge, Storm and Glens don't play Cargo at all. So it's you know, it's unfortunate that it's a 12 game regular season crammed amongst eight teams. So there's going to be some teams that don't play each other, and how the computers spit out the schedule this year, Storm and Glens only play each other once. So it is what it is. It's the situation. Like I talked to Jessica about it. I was like, did you have a reaction to it? And she's just like, you know, I'm over the drama. You know, I don't want to, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm sure they don't want to have drama and this and all that stuff, because last year there was a little drama that yours truly here perpetuated against San Francisco Glens. That was a fun week. So I think from that, it's just they're turning the page on anything that is like up, you know, it's not in our control. We can't worry about it. It sucks to tie. Who knows how this plays out on playoff implications, but it is what it is. So now Seoul almost undoubtedly has to win the rest of the way. And you get Glens to finish the season on June 30th. So you got to beat them. And you also have to hope that Storm beats Glens, because then you beat Glens twice. You got that second spot. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I think they should have found a way to make the competition a little more even in the NorCal division. It's a great division. There's four really solid teams, and only two teams get a playoff spot. So, like, I don't know, maybe you could have halved the regular season, do a end of the season for just the NorCal division, given it's eight teams. No other division, I think, has six. I think the other top ones have five teams. Like, do a four-team playoff in the NorCal division. You know, one seed plays the four, two plays the three, and then the finalists get the playoff spot. I think that would be the most fair and make the most sense for this division. But, you know, let's remember, it's amateur. You know, there's going to be some mistakes. There's going to be some cost benefit analysis on how to schedule teams and have teams play each other. So, you know, it is what it is. Let's remember there's a brighter future ahead with, you know, a little more, how should I word it? A better league, I guess you can say.
Yeah, it feels like you got an axe to grind here, John.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
Goodness
it
gracious.
Is.
The fact checkers are in my ear right now. I believe I said that it was a 6-1 win over Academica. It's 6-2. I'm also told that it's pre-professional. That's the term we're using instead of amateur. unless what you meant is the organization of the league is amateur, which, you know, I based on your comments, I think I can see it. Also, Seoul only got Cargo once, which is, I think, maybe offsets things a little bit. Glens get Cargo twice. So that's, I mean, there is that going for us. But you're right. It's got to be the Seoul have some of the bottom, I won't call them bottom feeders, but the teams in the bottom half of the league coming up the next three games, Pleasanton, the Marin Siren, Olympic Club. And you're right. They would all be must wins anyway, but they're especially must wins now because there's no margin for error. And then they get SF Glens to finish the season. They've already beaten SF Glens once. They'll probably need to do it again. I mean, that's just how it is. But obviously, Glens will be out for a little bit of revenge there. And I mean, that's what you want, though, right? You want that last game of the season to be meaningful. I think that's the goal.
Yeah, you know, the quality of soccer is great. And, you know, like when I was talking to Jessica today, she's like, you know, first and foremost, this is fun, right? Like, this is a fun game. This is fun to watch for the fans, even for the coaches. It's quality soccer, and, you know, quality comes through with, you know, Jordan Geis, four goals. That is a franchise record for men and women you know, we've had quite a few hat tricks from the women's side. Only one hat trick from the men's side, Jack McInerney, back in the NISA days. So, I mean, Jordan, great talent, and there's talent just throughout this roster. They're so fun to watch. Miranda was doing footwork along the sideline today that I was just left me screaming from the stands there. You know, Sam Tran making these long runs that, you know, you don't really see, you know, very often. And, you know, if you want to watch just quality soccer, you got to make it to a Seoul game, because it's just on another step, in my opinion, than from the USL Championship.
Speaking of quality soccer in the USL Championship, great segue, John, great segue. The Oakland Roots actually are coming off of a pretty spectacular win. But let's recall both games that have happened since the last podcast. Game against Colorado Springs. I mean, that's a tough road trip. You go up into the altitude, and the game is turned on its head by an absolutely incredible strike from 25 or so yards very early on, like the second minute or something from Dylan Spear. And I mean, we've discussed this. This Roots team is good. They're not good at chasing the game, and they had to chase the game for 88 minutes. They did an admirable job for a while. They got a couple of good opportunities. Trayvon Reed very memorably hit the crossbar with a beautiful shot. But I don't know. To me, the first half of that match was defined by the Roots getting in great positions and then not being able to make the last pass. The second half of that match was defined by the Roots doing next to nothing. I mean, it was awful. It's just not inspiring stuff. And it was kind of unusual because, as we've also said on this podcast, like, Gavin Glinton seems to get a lot of use out of his half times. And this was an instance where it just went completely sideways. Contrast that with the Tampa Bay Rowdies game. First half, Tampa Bay was really all over Oakland. Probably should have scored. Didn't. And frankly, as much as they controlled the game, they didn't really threaten Tim Sorrell, who was in goal for Paul Blanchett. And, you know, 0-0 at the half against one of the better teams in the league. What else can you ask for? And then the Roots, they found something. And my level of inebriation is not going to let me tell you with any amount of specificity, clarity, what exactly the adjustment that was made at halftime. But an adjustment was definitely made. Roots got back in the game and then got a headed goal by exactly who you would expect, Yesiel Cedeño.
4'10", Yesiel Cedeño.
I mean, you know, it was pretty stunning. The whole match long, watching long balls be played into Johnny Rodriguez, and if they were played anywhere within, you know, the center of the pitch, one of these ants who was in defense for Tampa Bay was taking care of it. And then, of course, you get a header from maybe the shortest guy on the field to win the game. And so there we have it. The Roots kind of back where they were at the beginning of this stretch. They're now in ninth place on goal difference, but just 2 points out of third. That's American soccer in a nutshell right there. Western Conference especially. You know, it hasn't been pretty, but they're exactly where, they're not maybe not exactly where you want them to be, but they're in a good place.
They're one changed result off of being exactly where you want to be. And this early in the season, I feel like you can say that, you know, the last week of the season, it's like, all right, that's not cutting it anymore. But right now, you know, I think they're in a good spot.
They're certainly not in a bad spot.
Yeah.
I wasn't overall inspired by what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. You know, Tampa's coming off back-to-back cross-country trips. Like,
they're not. They stayed in California.
They were finishing one cross-country trip, like I was saying.
Our boy Joe was saying that on the broadcast, that they decided to stay.
That was the right move.
Trained in the area, and I think then also had some time to do fun stuff. I guess. I don't know. He said something like that. I think that, but I mean, I, I, your point is well taken. I mean, I do think that there is something to the fact that, like, they had been on the road for 8 days. They were no longer jet lagged, but, you know, these guys are probably not used to that kind of road trip. And when they didn't win the game in the first half, it probably became very hard for them to win the game in the second half instead of being like, let's just get home.
Yeah. Any goal in the first half would have dramatically changed the course of that game. I mean, that's almost a truism. Goals change games. But going back to this point about how the Roots are not really set up to chase a game, they would have been in real trouble.
Well, and I think your point on the Colorado Springs match about, I mean, you and I discussed it at the time, the Roots are not set up to chase, but you know, you mentioned that the halftime team talk not working. He didn't have any subs.
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
Johnny was coming back from injury and was, I think, pretty clearly a planned sub at right around the 60-minute mark. And that's it. That's all your attackers, at least all your, like, senior regular attackers, because Cedeño, Mafeka, Reed, and Cherie were on the field. Dwyer wasn't ready. And Johnny needed, you know, had to limit his minutes. So there's no one to bring on another defensive midfielder and another center back, but that's your bench.
Classic Oakland Root substitution right there. Speaking of attackers, though, John, Trayvon Reed, I mean, he's been getting better, but I think the last couple of matches, he's really shown why it made sense to sign him last year.
Yeah, you know, I think I've drawn praise for Trayvon Reed much like the last 4 or 5 weeks, it feels like. I mean, he's been my most impressive player for the last 4 or 5 weeks. I went on a Tampa Bay podcast during the week and, you know, they asked me to identify players. I identified Reed. I said, I think he's the most dangerous player on the team right now. And he's really showing it. I mean, he is being tasked to get into isolation and he just loves taking people one-on-one. You know, he has these moments where you're like, you know, there he is, you know, makes a mistake pass. I one comes to mind where we're looking dangerous on a counterattack against Colorado Springs. He has an option to his right, an option to his left, and he plays a pass right into a center back. And it's my comment to Gavin on a couple occasions was, you know, we're seeing just this raw talent with Cherie, and then we're seeing this raw talent with Reed. And you know, Reed has really started to show these glimpses of exactly why, you know, we brought him in. A lot of these glimpses that I saw in these YouTube highlight reels where he's taking people one-on-one, he's making long runs in possession, he's squaring balls, he's taking these curling shots, and man, I know they're gonna land one day and it's gonna be just, you know, miraculous. But he has this stuff in his locker and, you know, it's really exciting and you just want to see, you know, the stats play out in his favor because he still has to finish. You know, he's getting himself in these great areas. He's looking dangerous. He's getting down by the end line and just beating people in one-on-one situations. It's just that little, you know, that little, that just,
yeah,
that
I mean, finish. Story of the Root season though, right now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think you called out the defense as a whole after that Tampa Bay game and fair. They've been pretty much rock solid, especially given, you know, all the chaos in terms of turnover in front of them. Roots have been pretty good in the back third, the middle third. It's just that final third all year long. And it would be nice if Trayvon could score some goals. I mean, the team has looked a lot better in the last 6 matches since Clinton took over. I mean, there seems to have been an attitude shift, a culture shift. I don't know what it was, but they just look better. But, you know, you look 3-1-2, that's good. They also have 7 goals scored and 6 surrendered. You know, like, those two numbers kind of tell a different story.
Well, but a +1 goal differential is a massive improvement.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
And I think that it's, you know, I was looking at FOTMob's stats. Colorado Springs had exactly 0 big chances in their win over the Roots. And that's, you know, obviously you go out to win the game, but the Roots set up to play defensively and they played really effective defensive soccer. I don't know that I think that they're better than that 3-1-2 record, but I think that 3-1-2 record was against a reasonable cross section of difficult opponents, and the Roots performed in a way that's going to get them a low end, that would get them a low end playoff berth.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. They're looking like a low end playoff team. I just 3-1-2 on its own is 9 points and six. That's a 51 point pace, which
by far would, our highest tally
would be
ever.
Really good.
Yeah.
a plus one goal differential after six games has you on a 5 or 6 goal differential pace over the course of a season, which is thoroughly mediocre.
But, I mean, that's where we are as, you know, but let's be honest though. I mean, they are trending upward, and the biggest differences that we can tell, especially under these 6 matches, 7+ US Open Cup, is they look different. There is a clear attitude shift. There's a clear system shift. They have an identity now. And that is the biggest praise we can almost give to Glinton right now for taking this team that, as we said, they were just a flavorless, nothing to it. We didn't know what they were supposed to be good at. And Glinton has taken that and has put his impression on this team to say, we're just going to press you for 90 minutes and we're going to hound you for the ball. We're going to hound you to make long passes so we can, you know, just thwart whatever offense and system you have planned. I mean, just make them pass along, and it's worked. And it's a credit to Gavin. It's a credit to them for giving us something that we can believe in, you know, and two clean sheets in 3 matches. I mean, that is a major accomplishment for this coaching staff after, as you know, all that has followed this team since last year. You know, what was it, 24 matches without a clean sheet? Now we have 2 in the last 3, one of them with a backup keeper, which is a testament to the defense, you know, not allowing many great looks. You know, Tampa was credited with 3 big chances, but it was kind of difficult to identify what those were. I know one had to have been that failed punch out by Sorel and Cal Jennings just kind of put it over the net. The other two, you got to help me with, because I rewatched it a couple times and I was like, oh, where are they? So I don't know. Fat Mob is interesting, but
yeah, I think that a stat like that I don't even know where Fat Mob is getting their data. So, yeah.
Well, I clicked on some of their data. I didn't realize they have stuff like shots off the woodwork. I mean, they're clearly getting some kind of very detailed data that doesn't make it reliable, but, you know.
They're getting some. It's the best we've got. I mean, I guess there's Opta data, too, that's out there somewhere, but.
I was most impressed with Sorel on that play where Kel Jennings straight up beat our defense. And he was going to go one-on-one on the keeper, and he made a touch a little bit too far, and Sorel came out, and he got the ball, and he wiped Jennings out, and it was like he executed that exactly right. He probably put a little bit of the fear of God in Cal Jennings, and that was the moment where I decided that Sorel had an incredible game. I mean, he had that point blank shot, that the one I think you mentioned before, save, but I just thought that was such a mature decision to go out to stop that before Jennings got a shot off.
Yeah, he really only had maybe that one moment where you were like, oh my God, what's happening?
Yeah.
And that's probably normal. We've gotten used to not having those because Paul Blanchett's so solid back there. But it didn't feel like, you know, I think maybe the biggest compliment I can give him is that the defense didn't look like they were trying to cover for a backup keeper. You know, oftentimes you see a drop in keeper quality and the defense is reacting differently because they feel like they've got to pick up some slack somewhere. And you didn't really see that on the pitch. And like we said, the defense was rock solid, which is reflected at the very least in the fact that Tampa Bay didn't score. But continuing with the theme of at some point, Oakland's going to have to score more goals if this upward trajectory is going to continue. Let's talk about Dom Dwyer, who it turns out was actually signed by the Oakland Roots, despite some concern on that front for a couple of weeks. Pretty nondescript debut, but it was a debut, which is pretty much all we've been asking for a while now.
He earned a yellow card for basically nothing, so he's a
He was. Oh my god, that was not for nothing.
No. Sorry. When I say for nothing, I mean for no strategic game.
Oh, for
in the Jose Hernandez talking yourself into yellow card school of Oakland Roots play.
If he nearly earned a second for a similar strategic advantage, not many moments later, he was clearly excited to be on the pitch, which is great. Love that. There's not much to talk about, but at least it happened.
No, I mean, I thought he looked pretty good in the 11 minutes that he played. I mean, he drew a couple fouls, which he is famously known for, I guess you can say flopping. I don't know. Strategic falling, we can say. Is that a better word? But he
when he's on our team, yes it's strategic. Yes. It's obviously you're just playing the game.
Yeah. He strategically fell in two very good areas for free kicks. And, you know, he put himself in a good position in the box. I remember when Zhai took a shot on target and was saved, you know, he was sitting there in the center of the box asking for the ball. I really wish Zhai would have spotted him there, and, you know, who knows what would have happened. But it was encouraging. He came in, and I think the system became a twin striker system with Johnny and Dwyer up top. So I'm interested to see if that will continue to be a part of the plan. Do you want to play Dwyer alongside another striker who is speedy and will do more of the pressing that we know that Glinton wants to do? So I'm curious to see that. I'm also curious to see how Johnny continues, because my memory of the end of that game was he finished the match sitting down and stretching his legs. So hopefully that's just a cramp, but he's had a really tough season, you know, very injury burdened season. He originally sustained his groin injury in the preseason, and that's followed him all the way until this time. So, you know, rough for him. I think it's definitely played a factor in his productivity. I think it'll definitely play a factor as Glinton continues to run this system to just press strikers for 90 minutes. I'm curious to see what that means for Johnny. So, just to bring us back to earth there.
Oh, thanks for that. I mean,
as I do every podcast.
Yes. I mean, groin injuries are, I mean, those are famously rough. It's so difficult to recover from them. I think probably even more so than like a hamstring injury. So that's tough. It does say a lot about the Roots that we have a guy who's been limited by such an injury and who is still leading the team in goals. So the Roots are going to need to score at some point. The vibes at this point are very good. I just think for the vibes to continue on the same trajectory or on the same plane, some goals will need to be scored. I think that's all I'm saying. But I do appreciate where the vibes are now, because the vibes were absolutely awful at the beginning of the season.
I'm prepared for vibes to continue to be good if the Roots can turn this collection of talented defenders into like an imperious defense. You know, if it looks like they're not hanging on by the seat of their pants in their clean sheets. Then maybe this will still be a great, fun team, even without goals.
Well, we're going to get a big, I think, another couple of tests here in the next week or so that will tell us a lot about, you know, is this just a bump in form because we're getting a new manager bounce, or is this a real turnaround? next three matches, all in the space of about a week. Sacramento on the road, El Paso at home, Monterey Bay on the road. So Sacramento, I mean, Sacramento is Sacramento. We'll talk about all these a little bit more in depth, but of course, Sacramento is Sacramento. They are currently second in the West, but they have by far the best goal differential in the West. And I think you'd be hard pressed really at the end of the day to say that New Mexico, who currently is sitting in the pole position in the West, is actually a more quality side than Sacramento. Sacramento just hasn't been able to turn some draws into wins so far. El Paso, we know El Paso is not having a great season, and they're making the trip to Oakland. That's a real opportunity, you know, especially given that, right, we have two away games. I'm going to put that in quotes. Two away games in the next, in the 7-day stretch. But those are trips up Interstate 80 to Sacramento and down 101. And then what is that, like
17?
You wouldn't take 17 to go to Monterey. You'd go down to Gilroy and then cut over.
Nah, it's much nicer to go through the Santa Cruz Mountains unless it's
be traffic. Yeah, but you'd get stuck.
This is
the Californian sketch. sorry, I lost my train of thought. You'd definitely go to Gilroy and then cut over to Watsonville for sure. But these are not really long road trips. The point. These are day trips. You get back, you sleep in your own bed later that evening. So, right, having the home match sandwiched in between those, not that big a deal. So that's a real big opportunity. And then Monterey Bay, right? We've briefly touched on the fact that the table in the West is very compact, right? Roots are in ninth on 17 points. Monterey Bay is in third on 19. So, right, this is one of those six-pointers. It really, really matters. We have this whole mess of teams in the middle from Monterey, really all the way down to Las Vegas, a spot below Oakland in the table. And how these teams separate themselves is going to determine who makes the playoffs and who makes the playoffs with an opportunity to win in the first round. And so this is a big game. And Monterey, while they have, I don't want to say they have the record, right? They're 5-4-6 on the season. They have the spot in the table. While they have that they haven't exactly been blowing teams off the pitch, and they've actually been pretty mediocre recently. So this is an important little trio of games. Let's begin with Sacramento, everyone's favorite opponent. I mean, they're pretty good this year. I mean, what can you say? They have a very good defense. They've only given up 9 goals on the season. They have a little bit of an issue scoring, but honestly, they score one or two goals most games. Their top goal scorers are Trevor Amon, who came over from Charleston in the offseason, and Kieran Phillips, who they signed from Shrewsbury, of all teams. Trevor Amon came from, I've got my people mixed up. Trevor Amon came from Northern Colorado Hailstorm out of League One. He's their big League One signing. Kieran Phillips did come from England. But then it's a bunch of people you remember. I mean, you know this team. You've seen them way too many times. It's a good team. It's a big test for Oakland. I mean, I think that's the bottom line.
Well, except, I mean, all of that is true. Rodrigo Lopez is their highest rated outfield player on FotMob, and he's done. He's probably done forever. But he is at least done for the season. Russell Cicerone is their second highest rated outfield player. He is out. He had surgery on May 11th. I don't know how long the recovery is, but he had surgery, which suggests it's not nothing, and he didn't play in the last game. Jack Gurr, who has tormented the Roots from the right back position, got a red card in garbage time against Monterey and will be out. So the Roots are getting basically the best version of Sacramento they could possibly be getting. The one issue is that with Lopez injured, Sacramento went out and just bought the best player from a Western Conference rival in Justin Portillo and will not be filling the loss of Rodrigo Lopez as much. And he played against Monterey and he played well. So he is settled in that team. But it's still, I mean, overall, this is when you want to be getting Sacramento. Their results have not been good. They had 3 straight draws to Phoenix, Rhode Island, and Birmingham. They lost to the Rowdies. And then they beat Monterey. So they're coming off that 2-0 win against Monterey. But, like, I mean, their fans don't think that this team is the team that it was through week eight. You know, I think that they're, I haven't seen them specifically be worried about Roots, but I definitely saw some of their people on Twitter saying, like, they're worried about where this team is right now.
John, bring us back down.
No, I think this is a great time to catch Sacramento, you know, for the points that Peter just made. You know, Rodrigo Lopez, leader in the locker room, he's out. Cicerone, leader in the locker room, leader of the attack, he's out. And we're playing well. You know, they're playing. This is probably the best we've looked all year. We're catching them at a good run. El Paso, it's a good time to get them. And Monterey, they're kind of teetering. I think that the results in the West, I mean, you see it. Everybody's kind of dropping points right now. And as a result, we're 2 points out of third, which is just absolutely just insane to be a win out of third place. So, yeah, I think Sacramento, just they're in a poor run. It's a perfect time to get them. Monterey, it's hard to tell what you're getting out of them. Chase Boone is out for the season. That's a big loss for them. I think these three matches are, you know, a great time for Roots and a great time to say, you know, put that stamp on, you know, we're playing well. Let's keep pushing it to the next level. I mean, look at this result against Tampa Bay. You went out and you played your game. You know, you want, Glinton wants them to be high pressure, force the long passes. And they did that. They did that against one of the best franchises in the league. You know, despite Rowdy's maybe, you know, not being where they want to be or where they envision, they're still one of the better teams in this entire league. You know, they're a team, an organization to look up to keep your standard that high. So to get that result against them, I mean, it says a lot. Arguably the biggest results of the year. Aaron, I think you even said it's one of the biggest results of all time. I mean, arguably, I mean, this team doesn't have a lot of history, but I mean, I think going into this match, Sacramento, the team should be feeling confident. I think they're responding well to Glinton, and now's the time to really prove it. I mean, against a team that is up and down and has its own issues as well. So I want to see a good performance, and how sweet would it be to take points on the road and bring it back to Pioneer Stadium for the CBS match later in July. So I'm confident going into this, and it's nice to feel that way.
Wow. Okay. John's not bringing us down. Well, it sounds like we're feeling good about Sacramento. I feel like we're probably feeling pretty good about El Paso. Like, we've seen them. We played surprisingly well against them. I think the team should have some confidence there. Plus, that's a tough trip from El Paso to Oakland. Monterey, I mean, they came out of the gates hot. They won four of their first seven, and it's been real bad since then. They've actually lost five of their last eight matches. They're coming off that 2-0 loss to Sac Republic that Peter mentioned. They did get a home win over New Mexico United before that, but I mean, losses to Orange County, Indy 11, Loudoun United, Hartford Athletic in this stretch, draws to Memphis and Charleston. It's been bad. I mean, they've got some decent players. Tristan Traeger leads them in goals on the season. He's the player who came over from Charleston. I got my people mixed up there, but it was Tristan Traeger. You know Chuy Enriquez. He's on the team. He scored a goal. He's got an assist on the season. We'll see Kai Green again. I think Valmer Martinez, he got a yellow. I can't imagine he's picked up enough yellows to have to sit out a game. Adrian Araboyar. I mean, there's some good players in this team, but they don't look hot right now. They're struggling. And hopefully they don't turn it around before that Saturday. But this does feel like the Roots might have dodged a bullet not playing Monterey in the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season and getting them now. Three games is a lot to do predictions for, guys. So let's not sit here and go match by match. That's a bit much. Let me just ask you what you think the headline will be coming out of these three matches. What is the big headline going to be for the Roots going into the next bit of the season? John, let me start with you.
Roots move into third following big win over Sacramento and Monterey Bay. That's the headline.
Okay. That's a pretty good headline. So you mean, obviously you're very confident. But you think we're just going straight to the top here.
Well, just from the math involved.
Yeah. Like that, I mean, we started this because we don't do math, John.
I mean, there's a four-way tie. We leave the
math to FOT Mob. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on here.
I mean, four teams have 17, you know, so just from the math involved, if one thing goes this way, another goes this way. I mean, who knows with the West? You know, we'll get the result we want, and then the other teams will get the result that they want. So, I mean, I don't know. I think this, like we talked about, I think this is the perfect time to get Sacramento. You know, they're hobbled. They lost Jack Gurr, who is just a great player, you know, a dangerous defender and passer. So you're losing service. You're losing a goal scorer. You have Portillo, who knows, you know, how ingrained in that system he is. There might be some, you know, fall points. Maybe he's just completely hitting the ground running, but, you know, I think it's fair to say there might be some inconsistencies there. So I think, you know, perfect time to get Sacramento. And then you want to believe it's, you know, you take that momentum into El Paso, get a result there, taken into Monterey. So a lot riding on these results, but I do think it's a good time for Roots. I mean, they're playing great. And if Glinton can keep this wheel turning and keep the results sharp and keep players enthused and executing what he wants and what his vision is for this team, then, you know, why can't they? Why can't they?
I'm not ready to predict third. But I think that I could see the Roots getting 5 or 6 points in the next three games, which I think is pretty good. You know, I wouldn't be... El Paso has some decent results in their last three. And, you know, I wouldn't be totally... I don't think it would be the most surprising thing in the world for the Roots to get a good result, like a draw away at Sacramento, and then lose at home to an El Paso team that suddenly looks a lot better than it did. That being said, I mean, I think the headline coming out of these three games is that the Roots are in the mix. The Roots are in the mix, and the last 4 weeks are not an illusion. The defense is better, the plan is better, and the attack is starting to show life.
Can I pose a controversial question?
Yes, please. We're all about controversial Clinton questions here.
Yes, that's where I'm going. You know, there was a Reddit question on there, or a Reddit, not really a question, just a statement, someone saying, I think Gavin should get the job. So let's not go all that far, but what do you think has to happen for you guys to feel comfortable with Glinton getting the job? What do you think needs to occur?
I don't say... Okay, I'm going to change your question a little bit.
Classic.
If Glinton ends the season, for me to say, yes, definitely make Glinton the full-time coach, the Roots need to finish like fourth or fifth in the West, or better, obviously, or like fifth and win a playoff game or something like that. I think that's probably a tougher standard than the front office would apply.
That's a tougher standard than I would apply. I think make the playoffs and give him another shot, give him another year.
I'm not saying definitely don't if he doesn't. I'm saying the only way I get to definitely give him the job is if he reaches that level. Because I think, you know, what I said in response to the Reddit thread that John is talking about is that I think that Glinton has raised the floor significantly. I don't know how high the ceiling is right now. And I don't know, you know, but I don't know that this team, I don't know that raising the ceiling matters all that much. I think raising the floor probably matters more, but I don't know. I feel like the last time the Roots went out and got their guy was Guerra, and it didn't work out with him, but all the people he brought in were pretty good. And he built a team that Noah took to a playoff victory, you know, and then all those guys gradually leaked out to other teams over 18 months. As opposed to like backing into a manager, like happened with Delgado, who like looked like he did pretty well. And then it just got worse and worse as other teams figured it out and he lost the locker room or whatever the hell happened.
Yeah. I just feel like if he makes the playoffs and we think it's not enough, that's very much like looking gift horse in the mouth. I think you just like for his first job, you give him another chance. I don't think he should be on a slightly shorter leash than Delgado got. Like, I'm not sure. I feel like some conversation should have happened in the off season that resulted in perhaps a managerial change, but that's a lot easier to say with hindsight. I'm not sure that I think it was Carlo Ancelotti who said like basically there's two kinds of managers, managers who get in the way and managers who don't. And the whole point is just being a manager who doesn't get in the way. And this guy doesn't look like he's in the way right now. He looks like he's helping the team succeed. And I mean, if after the start of the season, the Roots make the playoffs, which to be fair is a low bar, but I feel like that's the bar right now, right? We came into the season saying the whole point of this season is to make sure the team doesn't fold before next year. I'm not sure we need to be our sights need to be a whole lot higher right now just because we've scraped a couple of wins in the last three. For me, the headline coming out of these next three games, it's gonna be that Dom Dwyer has finally scored a goal for the Oakland Roots. I think that's gonna be the headline. Well, I suppose the watch party for the Sac Republic game is in Sacramento. If you can't make it, I'm sure that we'll find some place to all get together and listen to the rhetorical stylings of Joe Malfa together, as we are wont to do at least twice a month. Hopefully you can catch us out at Pioneer Field on Wednesday. And then I would imagine, similarly, that the watch party for the Monterey Bay game is in Seaside, California, covered in fog, and hoping you'll be able to see your way out of the stadium on your way back to your Airbnb, hotel, or own bed, wherever it is you're heading after that.
Just your car. Just heading to my car.
You're just going to sleep in your car that night, but John?
Who knows? Who knows? How tired? It depends how tired I am. No, it's, Sacramento, I'm more worried about. That game starts at 8.
8. Yeah. That's a late one.
So I will be out there. I will be out there. I've heard about 100 people right now are going to be out there. So if you're considering it, definitely do it. If you're considering Monterey, definitely do that one because that's just a lot of fun, period. It's always a good time out in there in Monterey. So if you're not into the away games, do it. They're the best time. They really are.
That's a great way to end things, I think, John, right there. Maybe we'll see out there if you're regular at these away games, and hopefully, you know, someone out there will make the leap and do one of these away games for the first time. And we'll be back to talk about all of it in a couple of weeks. And until then, up the Roots.